Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, going to jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us this week, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time on Locker Room, and get in the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Matt, welcome back to another week. A very beautiful day out here in Chicago. Again, we're getting lucky, and we also have Bulls basketball on tap. So excited to get in to this rematch with the Pacers, talk a little bit about that, talk a little bit about the Rookie of the Year awards too. But first and foremost, how are you today?
Jordan, what's going on, buddy? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. I can't believe how lucky we're getting with these early spring days, man. It's gorgeous. I just got home from a walk, running some errands down the block, and man, I didn't want to come back inside. It was absolutely beautiful. You know what I'm looking forward to? Not just a Bulls-Pacers game that hopefully the Bulls can get their second straight win after the dub against Brooklyn on Sunday, but I'm looking forward to a 6 p.m. Central Time tip-off, buddy. God, doesn't that just sound so good compared to that West Coast trip we were on?
Yeah, the West Coast games are brutal. They're brutal when I don't have to wake up at 3 a.m., but it makes life difficult, and it makes life difficult for the Bulls too, because most of the teams they have to play on the West Coast are very difficult as well. So yes, I'm looking forward to that as well. Unfortunately, the baseball team is out west tonight. The Sox are playing the Mariners at 9, so I'll probably stay up a little bit for that. But I'm excited, man. Hopefully the Bulls can capitalize on their win against the Nets and another pretty solid Indiana Pacers team that the Bulls have seen once before this season. But coming out of the All-Star break, the Pacers have been a game below 500. They're 6-7. How do you think the Bulls fare tonight against this team? Is there something that you're most concerned with? And do you think the Bulls have a shot to build on what they did on Sunday?
I think they absolutely do. I mean, the Pacers have just been kind of up and down, kind of a team floating in purgatory. They're 5-5 in their last 10. And, you know, they've been dealing with inconsistencies as far as their performance this season, almost as much as the Bulls have. If there's one thing that I'm going to be keying in on tonight, it's can the Bulls continue this recent positive trend since the trades of keeping their turnovers low? They had fewer than 10 turnovers in the game against Brooklyn. I think they even kept their turnovers below 10 in the close loss to Utah over the weekend. The Pacers are a pretty decent defensive team, and in particular, TJ McConnell. That dude just loves stealing basketballs. You know, he had that game earlier this season where he had like 9 steals in the first half, and it looked like that he might tie or break Kendall Gill's record for most steals in a game. Didn't quite get there, but you got to be concerned about the Bulls maintaining that protection of the basketball that has kept them in games recently.
TJ McConnell's I always say the Pokemon evolution of Ryan Arcidiacono. Ryan Arcidiacono is like the Charmander, and TJ McConnell's like the Charizard. Thinking about the Pacers, The one thing that's going to concern me is if the Bulls can't get anything going around the rim early. They've got a the Pacers have a defensive player of the year candidate in Miles Turner.
Turner, yeah. People are talking about him as DPOY as if it's not already just automatically going to be Simmons.
There's been a handful of guys that have given Simmons a good run over the last couple of weeks, but I think Miles Turner's been one of the most underrated guys, and his offensive game has come around this year too, man. He can hit threes too. It's going to cause a lot of problems considering him and Sabonis are very good rebounders. The Pacers have great rebounding guards as well. We get to see a couple former Bulls too tonight. Doug McDermott has been shooting the three really well since the All-Star break, Matt, and I'm just hoping that this isn't a Doug McDermott revenge game.
Could be. He's having a good season, man. I think he's going to get paid. You know, he was a guy who, after getting traded away from the Bulls in that trade that also included Taj, you know, the trade that we don't like to talk about too much because all it netted us was a human joke by the name of Campaign. Oh, and we gave up a draft pick in that trade somehow too. He bounced around to a lot of different teams, but it seems like he's finally found a footing and a good spot with these Pacers. And you know, the Bulls' perimeter defense has been suspect all season long, so they'll have a tough test if Doug is feeling it and hitting his shots tonight.
Is Joffrey LeVern still in the league?
That's a good question. I haven't heard his name mentioned this season.
Is he like hidden on the Spurs bench or something? Like, that's where I feel like guys like that go. They go to like the Spurs or the Raptors, and they're like the 13th or 14th guy at the end of the bench. Same thing with like Cameron Bairstow's definitely not in the league. I think he plays back in Australia in their pro league still. Justin Holiday's going to be another problem too if he starts to get it going early from three. That's going to be the Bulls' biggest test. Is they've done a great job of kind of adjusting and stopping every bucket possible at the rim. Now it's keeping the consistency at the perimeter and seeing what they can get going early. You're going to have to be every single one of those guys on the floor tonight is going to have to be tough on the boards. Sabonis could easily put up a triple-double against the Bulls and not even blink an eye. Those are the things that I'm concerned with. Don't get three happy either. The Bulls did a really good job of getting points that paint. Don't get three happy again. That's when the Bulls get in trouble. And they're only shooting 34% as a team coming out of the All-Star break. So try to get something going inside early and let the three-point shot open up.
Yeah. And, you know, Donovan and his staff will have to make some adjustments compared to the most recent matchup. The Bulls got a win against the Pacers a month or so ago. Zach LaVine had a 30-point night in that win. I think that was also the game where Sabonis had like a abnormally awful game, very inefficient from the floor and a bunch of turnovers, got into some foul trouble as well. Coming into tonight's game, I haven't seen anything official, but projected starters for the Pacers tonight do not include Malcolm Brogdon or Domantas Sabonis, who are both out with some mild injuries. They're still day-to-day, but they, along with Jeremy Lamb, did not play in their most recent game, which was a thrilling OT win against the Spurs a couple nights ago. But the new addition, who was not yet back for the Pacers when the Bulls played them most recently, Caris LeVert, a dude that you and I feel like talked about a lot a while back as far as some potential Bulls and Brooklyn Nets trades before he moves to Indiana. And Caris LeVert has had himself 2 20-plus scoring nights already for the Pacers since returning from his injury. So another test for the Bulls defense tonight with LeVert.
The good thing is if, in fact, Brogdon and Sabonis don't play in this game, he's been mostly doo-doo outside of the All-Star break. When he's had to be the main guy and the main scoring option, he's had bad nights. He's averaging 15.9 points per game in 12 games coming back from the All-Star break. And two, he's still recovering from an injury. He had the surgery, too, on his kidney. And so that was a very, very serious injury, and just getting back and getting his game going again. A couple of weeks it takes for guys to actually get back into a rhythm. And if you got pieces missing here and there, it can be tough. But I think this is a good thing for the Bulls, though. If he ends up being the chucker tonight, he's only shooting 39.3% from the field overall. So I think the Bulls should be in for a good night if they don't let the Pacers shoot just a million threes. I think the Bulls pick up a win tonight. So I'm excited, man. I want to talk to you really quick, though, about, haven't had this conversation all season long, about the Rookie of the Year award. Where does Patrick Williams sit in this conversation? We'll go around real quick, get your opinion on a couple of different of the rookies and see where you think he sits. First, I want to tell our listeners about our friends at Locker Room. Told you guys at the top of the episode that we are going to do a live Locker Room at 3 p.m. Central tomorrow. That's Wednesday. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Central, we'll be live doing an episode of Mailbag, taking your questions. It's been a lot of fun. The first 2 weeks have been a blast. So if you want to join us, make sure you sign up. You download the app on the iOS store right now. You make sure you sign up for an account, create your profile, and make sure you follow us at Locked On Bulls and at Jordan C. Malley so you know exactly when we go live. This app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team and sports. Like I said, we'll be hosting one tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central. So a lot of people said, oh man, I wish I would have known about this. I missed out. I missed hearing you guys want to join in on the conversation. You can do so. So make sure you set your alarms, set your notifications when you set up a brand new account. So go download the free Locker Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. We'll be there tomorrow, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Central. Can't wait to hear from everybody. It's been a lot of fun the last 2 weeks. See you there, Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports.
Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is also brought to you by rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everyone and always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
So I didn't think that this conversation was going to be relevant at all after the first month of play, just because I thought LaMelo Ball was going to run away with the Rookie of the Year award. But since his injury, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to end up winning it with missing all of this time. It's unfortunate for him. But that being said, Matt, where do you rank Patrick Williams? Would you say Patrick Williams should be at least in the conversation top five in Rookie of the Year awards? Or do you think there's some players, some guys having other better seasons, some things deterring Patrick Williams from being a part of the top five? Just where did you have him sitting, even before the LaMelo Ball injury? Just thinking 2 through 10, where did you have him sitting?
I mean, I would say probably outside the top five, but in the top 10. I mean, even with LaMelo's injury, you still got Anthony Edwards. You still got Tyrese Halliburton. Wiseman hasn't been anything spectacular for Golden State. But Sadiq Bey is having himself a really nice season. So, I mean, I would put him probably somewhere in the 6 to 10 range right now as far as what would be fair odds for him to somehow steal the award or where he would ultimately finish.
Yeah, I thought Halliburton at first. I was like, there's no doubt. Emmanuel Quickley for the Knicks has had a really good season.
Quickley's a sneaky one, yeah.
That was more towards the beginning of the season. He's cooled off a little bit, and it doesn't help when Tibbs decided to trade for Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose has kind of eaten up some of his minutes and his usage. The other guy that I thought about too, on top of him, LaMelo obviously, and then Anthony Edwards has actually had, outside the first month, he's had a really good season, even though the Timberwolves have been so beaten up and broken, it feels like. But I think Patrick Williams should be in this conversation, man. At fifth, if we're taking LaMelo Ball completely out of the conversation, I think Patrick Williams should be in the top five. I'm looking at NBA.com's ranking. They do the Kia rookie letter. This week's edition has Patrick Williams listed as ninth. I'll give you the top I'll give you the top eight players. So number one, they have Tyrese Halliburton from the Kings. Two, they have Anthony Edwards. Three is Emmanuel Quickley from the Knicks. Jayshon Tate from Houston is number four. Sadiq Bey from the Pistons is number five. LaMelo comes in at number six. Wiseman at seven for the Warriors. Desmond Bane of the Grizzlies at eight. And then Pat Will at nine. And Isaiah Stewart of the Pistons at 10. To me, it lists here that Patrick Williams and Isaac Okoro, the Cavs, are the only two rookies to start every single game. On top of everything that Patrick Williams has done to impact wins on this team this year as a rookie, he's been durable, man. And the Bulls haven't had a durable player come out of the draft and be healthy since what? Since we started this rebuild. Which of the first round draft picks have been healthy completely? None of them have. So it's good to see, but I think this is a little bit low, and maybe this goes to the fact that the Bulls haven't won as many games as maybe people thought. They're still sitting 10th in the Eastern Conference. Any of those factors you think part of the reason why Patrick Williams is ranked lower on the ladder than maybe I thought?
I mean, I think there are a few factors at play here, and one of them that maybe fans won't like, but I think is very much undeniably true, is that much like Zion's rookie year, where he missed considerable time nursing an injury, and John Morant had himself a fascinating and exciting rookie year. So, you know, that's how that went. Zion still got a lot of votes, even for the amount of time that he missed, because the truncated number of games that he played were in themselves wildly impressive for a rookie. And yeah, there was a lot of hype for number one overall pick, but in the amount of games that he played, he backed up that hype. And I think that you can make the same argument for LaMelo this season. So, you know, your hypothetical of, okay, well, taking LaMelo out of the equation, no, I think LaMelo very much stays a part of the equation. And I think that even though he's had this, he suffered this very unfortunate injury, you know, at the back part of his season, kind of like opposite to where Zion missed a lot of time early and then came in and finished strong. What LaMelo showed people while he was playing his rookie year is still going to generate him a lot of votes, because much like Zion, he lived up to, and maybe even more so than Zion in LaMelo's case, surpassed the hype, because there were a lot of LaMelo doubters. You know, there were some say this kid is as good as advertised, but plenty saying, man, you know, bust potential. I think he's a little overhyped. Maybe he got picked too high in the draft. But you saw what he did and what he did when he was inserted into that starting lineup after a while, you know, for that team. I think even with this injury, he's still going to finish top three. I think he will easily finish top three. And then as far as some of the others, every year you get sneaky guys who kind of come out of nowhere to join the Rookie of the Year conversation, compared to, say, where they were drafted, and nobody sees it coming. So I think it's, you know, maybe nine is a little low for Patrick Williams. I have seen other sites listed odds where he's something like seventh, or maybe even in some cases sixth. I think anywhere in that 6 to 10 range is fair. You're right about the durability thing, but a smaller number of games from LaMelo doing what he was doing, and let's be honest, doing it in front of a larger audience than Patrick Williams, whose Bulls have had two nationally televised games, is still going to factor into how people vote.
I think there's two things that kind of factor into this, and it's offense. First and foremost, like flashy, big time scoring, the ability to pass the way that LaMelo has, and the success. Like, the Hornets are a really cool story this year. They've been a lot of fun to watch. They're probably, I would say, now since they've got the injuries, they're not as fun to watch, but all season, man, I've made sure to tune in to a couple of Hornets games a week, and it's been a lot of fun, a lot in part because of LaMelo. The thing is though, anytime we talk about awards, usually it's pushed based off of offense is going to be outweighing defense. I think, is it fair for me to say that Patrick Williams is probably the third most impactful Bulls player this year on this team in terms of wins? Like, guys that are impacting wins. Without Patrick Williams, I think Zach LaVine and Thaddeus Young are the two other guys ahead of him. But those three guys, I think, have been the three most important players to this team this year. to me, I think that matters a lot to Bulls fans, and that should be talked about. I don't think it's talked about enough because the Bulls haven't picked up enough wins. They just went on a bad losing streak. They're 10th in the East. I think all of that combined has people not talking about Patrick Williams as much as they should. On top of that, like, Zach LaVine is having a ridiculous year, so he's the main storyline, but I think people have tended to forget about Patrick Williams, and I don't know if it's the fact that they didn't know who he was, like a lot of us didn't, coming out of the draft. That kind of knocked him down some bars. But thinking about like Tyrese Halliburton, he's had a ridiculous year. Any one of these guys in the top five have had great offensive years as rookies. Patrick Williams is averaging less than 10 points a game, so I think that's an impact part of it too. I really do, though, feel like the winning part of it has deterred Patrick Williams from being a part of this conversation. And that's not to his fault of his own. It's just the lack of attention this Bulls team is getting outside of guys like Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I think whether it's Rookie of the Year or any other, you know, season-long award, winning is always factored in. And it's why until this year, because he just took an even greater leap, Zach was never really seriously considered as an all-star because he's never been on teams that win. And you could say the same for Patrick Williams and the Rookie of the Year conversation. You do bring up a good point about his contribution to the modest number of wins that the Bulls have managed thus far. And I absolutely agree that behind Zach and Thad, he's been the third most impactful, obviously prior to getting Vooch in the trade. But it's mostly about the durability. I think he missed one game this season that he sat out because he had some, you know, something sore and he took one night off. Other than that, he has been playing and he has been starting. And you can't say that about the formidable Wendell Carter Jr. You can't say that about the still here and now coming off the bench, Lauri Markkanen. You can't say that about Sato after taking over for Kobe White as point starting point guard. You can't say that for Kobe White when he was this team's starting point guard. I think it's absolutely fair to say that even as a 19-year-old rookie, he's had the third greatest impact behind Zach and Thad. But from the national perspective, I don't think that that would factor in all that heavily when you're talking about the impact a player has as a rookie on his team winning when that team, as the Bulls are now, are what, six games under 500? As opposed to rookies playing on teams that have better records.
Yet I think Patrick Williams is really only, from an offensive standpoint, I think really we can only point to maybe one game where he's really taken over and been a part of that. The other rookies ahead of them, I think, have been a part of that conversation. I just find it bizarre that some of these teams that are kind of bottom-of-the-barrel teams like the Rockets and the Pistons have two guys on this list. And again, this is coming from the NBA website. It's just one person's opinion. But I found that a little bit bizarre. I think if they dug into the stats and the season that the Bulls they were having, I think people would have different opinions about him. But again, like you were talking about, it's the national coverage versus the local coverage. Let me give you this from our friends at B-Ball Index, and then we will move on to a quick conversation about Lauri Markkanen. B-Ball Index has Patrick Williams. Here's his top four attributes as far as a player, and they do a bunch of different things, go through a bunch of different stats, categories to group all the players in the NBA this season together to spit out this information. So they group guys into their four top talent areas. Patrick Williams' top talent areas: one is finishing, the ability to finish around the rim. Offensive rebounding is his second top talent area. Third is interior defense, and four is off-ball movement. Two out of the four of those, and being the bottom two of his skills, like we've just been talking about, they don't get as much attention, I think, as offense does from a rookie. It's just not a grabber. Defense of plays, and it's funny, Jabari Parker told us best, you don't get players don't get paid to play defense. They don't get awards and accolades like an offensive performance does either. So it's very cool. I want to dive into these stats a little bit more as we progress throughout the season. But check out our friends at B-Ball Index, and thanks for their in-depth stats and coverage all season long. Let's touch on Lauri Markkanen a little bit in his looming restricted free agency coming up in just a couple of months, Matt. Before we do that, let me tell you guys quickly about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. I don't know if you got in on the national championship last night, but Baylor crowned the 2021 NCAA champions. So if you got in on that, they had a bunch of odds out there yesterday, as well as a full slate of NBA games and baseball returning too. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This is just a quick conversation because it's been something that we've been talking about all season long. But as it approaches and gets closer and closer to that date and some of the decisions that have been made by Billy Donovan in the rotations and how he's using guys, I saw an article today from CBS Sports, and our guys at the Bulls Talk podcast, you were telling me, also had a conversation about his restricted free agency this summer and how many teams might be involved. The more I read through this article and the more I thought about it on its surface level, Matt, is there very well might be 6-8 teams that are heavily interested in Lauri Markkanen's talents, not only because of his age, still has a ton of upside, and maybe he does just need a fresh start somewhere else. That being said, the limited amount of top-tier free agents being available this summer and some teams having some cap space might put the Bulls in a weird bind. Where do you sit at with his restricted free agency this summer?
I think right now all signs are pointing to the Bulls moving on. The Bulls, with, you know, inheriting Vooch and a couple other contracts, now have less cap space on the way in the 2021-22 offseason than they would prior, but they still, you know, they moved Otto's contract. Felicio's coming off the books at the end of this season. They've got partial guarantees for Sato and Thad. And as we talked about a little bit with Zach, they have some options to try to extend him or maybe even renegotiate and use some salary cap space for that purpose. With all of those things that they're juggling and Vooch's arrival, and honestly, the way that Lowry has played, I don't see this new front office justifying paying Lowry somewhere close to $20 million annually, which is what he was reportedly looking for last offseason when they said, we're talking, we're trying to get an extension done, and it didn't happen. I was not surprised it didn't happen. What we heard is that they were about $5 million annually apart in those negotiations when they ultimately stalled. So if Lowry goes off and finds himself an offer sheet, like Zach did a few years back with Sacramento, and he comes back to the Bulls and says, are you going to match this? If I'm the Bulls and that offer sheet is anything upwards of $15 million annually, I'm asking myself how much that player is actually worth and where could we better spend that money. So I do think that Lowry is going to get an offer or multiple offers, because plenty of teams around the league will say, we can, you know, turn Lowry into the guy that people saw the potential in. We and our system can get the best out of this kid, who's still only 23 years old, by the way. So I think that with the offers that Lowry will likely get from teams desperate to make a splash and convince themselves and their fan base that this is the right guy and he's worth this much money, that the Bulls' new front office will probably pass on matching that offer.
I'm flipping through just restricted free agents for next summer, some of the top candidates, and I'll be honest, Matt, Lauer's probably the second best available at his position right now, and that doesn't say much for the free agency class. I think John Collins is the only other guy that's ahead of him. And we were talking about what Bertans and some of the other guys that at that same position with the same skill sets were getting paid just this offseason. I think the reflection of that on top of what Lowry was asking compared to what the Bulls offered, his position even with kind of a down year, if he plays anything close to what we thought he was going to be when he's consistent, a guy that can drop 20 points a game, can get you 8 to 10 rebounds a night, and can be a true part of your offense, be a second or third option, it makes sense why I see the Bulls saying to themselves, I don't know if we're going to have the money to be able to spend it. All it takes is one team, and I'm thinking teams like, what the hell are the Kings doing with Marvin Bagley, who seems upset this entire season, also got hurt. Rashawn Holmes is about to head to free agency, and they've been interested, surface level interested, for the last couple of years in Lowry Markkanen. So it could take a team like that to just throw the bag at Lowry and say, hey, we'll give you 4 years at $80 million or 5 years at $90 million. I think that scares me, and I think on top of that, too, I wonder how much the fact that Lonzo's going to be a restricted free agent plays into this too, and their interest level at the trade deadline compared to how much money they would be able to save by not paying Lowry and being able to go after Lonzo. Do you think Lonzo's contract this summer is affected at all by like the money that Jrue Holiday just got by the Bucks a couple of days ago? I think maybe a little bit, but I was curious. Do you think that has any impact at all on the point guard market this summer?
I mean, I'm with you. Maybe a little bit, but probably not that much, because even though they play the same position, I mean, Jrue Holiday is a 10-plus year vet in this league who commanded that ridiculous haul in a trade because he is a well-respected 10-plus year vet in this league who has, you know, flirted with all-star appearances throughout his career and has certainly been always an above-average player at his position. Lonzo is an enticing, still-developing guy coming off a rookie contract. I'm sorry, but I don't think that that player would command as much as a free agent as, say, Holiday did in a trade and the gigantic contract that Jrue Holiday was on. I do, however, think that whether it be Lonzo or someone else, this new front office's primary, first and foremost goal this offseason, because they didn't get one at the trade deadline, is finding themselves a high-quality starting point guard. It's not Kobe. It's not Sato. Moving on. We have learned that much. And if that is your front office's priority in the offseason, guess what? Lowry ain't a point guard. We've added some quality playmaking by making savvy moves, and Vooch is a perhaps underrated and certainly capable playmaking and distributing big man who we've already seen what he has done to open up the Bulls offense a little bit. And by the way, he also takes care of the basketball, but he's still not a point guard. You need a point guard. So you're probably going to look to spend the salary cap space that you have, and maybe, you know, what other moves need to be made to free up a little bit more money, whatever is needed to go get that point guard. AK and Eversley are aware that point guard remains the thing that this roster still needs. So that's where they're going to spend their time, their focus, and their money, which is another reason why matching an offer for Lowry that in their eyes and in probably most people's eyes is him being overpaid and still not having really proven anything is not a valuable investment for them. Oh, and by the way, the kid that we were just talking about as perhaps a, you know, top 5 to 10 finisher for rookie of the year, who looks at 19 to be better than Lowry or Kobe or Wendell did in any of their respective rookie seasons, he's your starting four of the future. Yet another reason that they can let Lowry walk.
It's true, man. I'm curious, too. They're going to have some options. Like, Thomas Adoransky is helping us out big time, not only this year, but also just value. Like, the Bulls have options now. If Thomas Adoransky plays well, they have options. I think it lessens the pressure on them to have to go out and address a point guard situation, considering he's played into that starting role really, really well. They're still going to do something. I agree with you on that. I think this makes them lean more towards the fact that, hey, if he gets something ridiculous, and still, I'm still not completely sold that the Bulls are out completely on him. I think that they're just doing the same thing that they did with LaVine with less interest. They're saying, go out and see what you can get. And if you can get an offer sheet, we'll take a look at it. And if we like it, we'll re-sign you. So I like the fact that this Bulls front office is leaving themselves some options short term, not tying themselves together long term as well. But you're right. They're going to have to address this point guard situation. So I'm curious what Lonzo's going to get, man. He, as much as he's been hurt and inconsistent at times, he's played really well with Zion when he's been on the floor.
Yeah. And it could be that the asking price the Pelicans had to let him go at the deadline was just way too high for the Bulls and for any of the other 29 teams in the league, because we saw that AK and Eversley were decisive and took action to improve this roster at the deadline, something that their predecessors never, ever, ever did. So if there was a deal that they thought was remotely in the realm of fair, a fair deal for both teams, a fair deal for us involving Lonzo and perhaps sending Lowry to New Orleans, we would have seen it. Leads me to believe that the asking price that the Costa was way too high in the eyes of AK and Eversley and the rest of the executives around the league. And now it's just a matter of whether or not the price tag that Lonzo commands as a restricted free agent will be less than, greater than, or equal to, roughly, the asking price the Pelicans set for him at the deadline.
I just don't think, now that I think that we're going into restricted free agency, I think the likelihood of the Bulls landing Lonzo is decreased a ton. I think it's decreased a ton, but that's just my opinion, and I think the Bulls have other options too. I'm okay with them too. Hey, if they want to spend the money on Lonzo and Victor Oladipo maybe stays with the Heat, I'm cool with going to try and convince DeMar DeRozan to come here. He's played pretty well this year, man, and he's averaging, I think, a career high in assists and rebounds, and he's putting the ball in the basket too. We talked about him at the trade deadline. That'd be somebody I would be more than happy with going out and chasing, even at a short-term deal. Somebody else I'm going to keep my eye on, too, is Victor Oladipo, because when he's been in games now with the Heat, he's been playing point guard. So I'm going to continue to watch that, as he's a free agent as well. He might be a buy-low option and somebody the Bulls are interested. Anybody you're going to keep your eyes on going into free agency or not? Just kind of keep the options open.
Yeah, I mean, you got to assume that AK and Eversley will explore any and all avenues and possibilities to solve this point guard situation. When you see the way that Zach and Vooch have already started to build a bit of chemistry with their two-man game, pick and rolls and pick and pops and you know, dribble handoffs, and what that has also done to open up Patrick Williams' offensive game, if you add a at least competent, if not above average, point guard to those three as starters, and then, you know, whoever, you know, the fifth guy is at the wing, maybe Troy Brown Jr., maybe somebody else, all of a sudden you have yourselves a lethal offensive starting five.
I'm excited for this summer, man. It's going to be a lot of options. We still got this season to focus on, but it's fun to talk about. And I think it's an important issue and probably one of the most talked about topics after the Bulls season concludes, is what's Lowry going to do? What are the Bulls going to do with Lowry? How do the Bulls address the point guard situation? Going to be a lot of fun. Let's get your guys' opinion. 331-979-1369. You can text us. You can hit us up. Give us a call. Drop us a voicemail. If you've got any thoughts, you want to be a part of this conversation about the point guard situation, about Lonzo, about this offseason, about Lauri Markkanen, maybe Patrick Williams, Rookie of the Year, any topic you want to talk about, hit us up at 331-979-1369. We're going to do mailbag tomorrow on top of being live on Locker Room. So go to Locker Room. Make sure you download the app and sign up for a free account today so you get alerts as soon as we go live tomorrow. You can be a part of our conversation when we take live questions. There's a chat throughout, too, so you can listen to the episode live and don't have to wait for it in your feed. So make sure you go to Locker Room today and sign up for that account so you're part of the conversation tomorrow. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful night. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.